Finish a series of sermons that I've been preaching for the last 4 weeks called A Total Eclipse of the Heart. Tomorrow is the day that we've been talking about for quite a while with the solar eclipse, the total eclipse. And we're going to be having so many people coming through looking at the clouds tomorrow. Isn't it great we get clouds tomorrow on the day of the total eclipse? But anyway, think of all the people that sold glasses in cloudy areas. Anyway, tomorrow's the day we've been talking about with the solar eclipse. And an eclipse is when the moon gets in the way of the sun and blocks its light. And as I begin to think about the eclipse, and I've shared this many weeks, but as I begin to think about the eclipse, I am a child of the 80s. And as soon as I heard that the word eclipse, every time they would say it on the news, the first thing that would come to my mind was, turn around every now and then. And all of a sudden, I would be singing by Tyler. I just, total eclipse of the heart was like, boom, it was always there. And I began to think about what that means, a total eclipse of the heart. It's when something gets in the way and blocks. And I begin to realize that we have things in our life that get in the way of God's light that is in our heart and blocks it. And it does not allow God's light to shine to us or to anybody else because we've been blocked. We talked about in the last few weeks. A few weeks ago, we talked about total eclipse of the heart. And we talked about, last week, we talked about regret and how that regret blocks the light of God. The week before that, we talked about, what did we talk about the week before that? My mind just went blank. Depression, thank you. We talked about depression, how the depression blocks the light. The week before that, somebody help me. I'm glad somebody listens. My brain went blank up here. Talked about loneliness and how that loneliness. Now, all of these things are so real. How many of you have ever felt lonely? How many of you have ever been depressed? How many have ever regretted something from the past? Oh, come on now. But I believe tonight, I got to tell you, my wife just looked at me and go, I regretted something. And she gave me that look that I have an idea of what she regretted. But all of those things are bad. But I'm going to tell you what I'm going to talk about today is the root of it all. Because when you think about the darkest eclipse and it becomes the root of all these other ones, is fear. Fear. I talked to the kids this morning about God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of peace and a sound mind. We know that fear does not come from God. However, we all live with fear. Has any of you ever been afraid? Have you ever got up in the morning and had that knot in the pit of your stomach? No real reason for it. You assign reason for it. Well, that knot's there because I got to go to work. I don't like my boss. I don't like my coworkers. That knot's there because I got to get up and go eat breakfast with my husband. And I don't like my husband. Or that knot's there because I got to go listen to my kids and my kids never obey me and they never do what I say. That knot's there because I got to pay a bill this morning that I can't afford. That we give all these reasons for that knot, but the knot is there because we're afraid of something. Have you ever got up and you felt that knot, not just for a morning, but for a week, for a month? And it becomes just a part of your life. And all of a sudden, you know what happens? When that knot is living in the pit of my stomach, when that knot is living there, my wife says she uses the word crabby. I'm not very crabby often. But I get crabby. I get emotional. I get, stop that. I'm going to be honest with you. Haven't had the knot, but I've been tired. I've had a busy summer. And I haven't went out and socialized much lately. And you can ask some people we play cards with once in a while. Man, I talked about it the other week. Man, I've always got an excuse why we can't go play cards. I just want to sit in my chair. Well, I went and played cards this week. The house was loud. The everything echoed in my head. I won the game, but that's just beside the point. But I looked at one point and I told him, I said, we had kids there, and I said, I can tell I'm getting older because I'm not used to the sound of all these little ones running around. And it was, things would crash, and I'd go, Now, I'm going to tell you, the kids wasn't that loud. They wasn't out of control. They were actually being pretty good. The problem was, somewhere in me, I had allowed fear, and I had allowed, I don't want to be there. I allowed fear turn into, I don't want to be there, and I don't want to be there turned into, I heard everything. I got news for you. When fear begins to eclipse God's love and God's light in your life, it changes every situation you face. It changes every relationship you have. It changes every physical problem you have. It affects every spiritual service that you go to. Why? Because fear begins to block the light of God. I want you to open your Bibles with me this morning. Amen. If you're visiting with us, we get excited when we open the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 5. Stand with me as I read verses 5 through 7. Now, some of you are going, man, I never even knew this was here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, chapter 7, verse 5 through verse 7. It says, for indeed, when we came to Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Outside were conflicts, inside were fears. Nevertheless, God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not only by his coming, but also by the consolation with which he was comforted in you. When he told us of your earnest desire, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoiced more. Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I come to you right now and I give you the honor and the glory, and I ask you to send your power. Allow me to preach this message with the fire and the strength that you gave it to me. Lord, let someone hear this word and be touched. Let their life be changed. Let fear be driven out. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. As Paul's writing to the Corinthian church here, he starts this little verse. He says, for when we came to Macedonia. Now, I got to tell you, Paul is on a journey. He is on his second missionary journey and he's traveling. Now, when you travel, things happen. And he's giving us a picture of a place in his life where fear had eclipsed his existence. I'm going to tell you, fear builds on the journey. And as you begin to go on a journey, fear builds. Have you ever been going somewhere that you've never been before? And you didn't know what quite to expect when you got there? And so as you got closer, you kept going, I wonder what this is going to be like. I remember almost 5 years ago, I took a trip from Van Wert, Ohio to Chillicothe, Missouri. I had not been here in some 15 years. And I didn't know what it was going to be like. I didn't know what was going to happen. I knew that I was interviewing for a job, but I didn't know if anybody liked me. Still don't know if anybody likes me. But I come in, and as I got closer and closer and closer, I was told this morning I only got the job because I was alive. I was breathing. Sister Wanda was telling me everybody kept getting sick, and this one was sick, and that one was sick, and I wasn't sick. And I, well, thank you very much. I can breathe. That's what got me the job. But I got here and I was nervous about coming in. I was nervous about how it was going to work, and if I was going to get this church, if I was going to be able to come here and pastor. And then I got the vote to come be the pastor, and when we moved, I was just as nervous. When we moved here, I didn't know where I was moving to. I had never physically seen the house, and I'd seen pictures of it, but as we got closer, and I was going, I don't know, is this going to work? And then turned down a gravel road and drove and drove and drove, and felt like forever. And went to a beautiful home that I got to live in for a while. And it was great. But I was nervous. I was afraid. Fear builds on the journey. You ever been there in the figurative journeys? When you've got something you're working toward. My youngest son started this week, his senior year of high school. And he's all excited, but there's going to come a place this year where he's going to go, I'm almost out of school. He's got his plans laid out. He knows where he wants to go. He knows what he wants to do. But there's going to come a place where the journey to graduation is going to become fearful. And my oldest son, his journey brings fear for me because he changes his direction every week. I'm going here, Dad. Well, I'm going to go over here. Well, then I'm going to go. And I'm like, son, just when you get there, tell me where you're at. The fear builds on a journey. I got news for you. Paul had been on a journey. Put this map up. This is his second missionary journey. Now, you can see here Corinth. That's the Corinthian church that he's writing to. And He started up here, but he was there early in his trip. And he went all the way down and back up, and then he came through Asia and into Macedonia. Now, in Asia, along the journey, some things happened. When you go back into 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I'll just read a few verses to you here. It says, "For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia. But we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despised even of life. Yes, we had a sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us." When you read that passage, you look at another passage of scripture and another translation. He says, we got into a situation in Asia that it was so bad, that it was such a situation that we gave up hope of living. We decided in ourselves that we were about to die. Have you ever got so afraid that you just, I'm dead. I'm going to die. This ain't going to work. I'll never forget, right after I moved here, me and Brother Furman and Pastor Lee Troyer, one of our former youth pastors, we went to World Revival Center in Kansas City one night. And we're driving through Kansas City, and somebody decided to get on the interstate, and they decided they needed to be where we were. And I don't know how Pastor Lee avoided the car, but I saw the car come right up on us, and Pastor Lee swerved over, almost hit the barrier wall and missed the car. But I'm going to tell you, I had given up option of living. It was the scaredest I've ever been in a car. I thought, this lady done hit me, and I'm going to die. And she didn't hit us, and I didn't die. At least I don't think so. And sometimes we get in situations where we think there's no hope. Paul said, but until when we had decided we couldn't live in ourselves, we put all of our trust in Jesus Christ. And he delivered us from death. He made a way. You see, along the journey, fear had built in him. And so when he gets to this place in chapter 7, he says, when we came into Macedonia, he goes, now by this time we've already had fear. We already know what it's like to be afraid. But then he talks about more fear. You see, fear builds from fatigue. Has anybody ever gotten tired? Anybody ever worked doubles? Anybody ever worked every day of the week? I had a situation ended this week that Beth or I were at the church or at a church event every night but one for almost 2 weeks. I was tired. I was exhausted. And the first night that we wasn't going to be at the church was the night I went and played cards. Maybe why I was like, I was fatigued. You ever had to go to work all the time? And you get fatigued, you get tired, you get burnt out. I was talking to Mark and Marilyn the other day. They were in the same run that we were, except the one night we had off, they were here. And they live 25 miles away from the church. Marilyn said, we could have got halfway to New York to see my son with all the miles we've had going to Chillicothe in the last week and a half. Of course, Mark pointed out, but we got to stop every night and sleep at home. But, you know, it gets fatiguing. It gets tiring. It gets exhausting. Pretty soon, when you get tired and you get fatigued, fear takes hold. Paul says, for when we were coming to Macedonia, our bodies were without rest. Our bodies had no rest. We were tired. We were wore out. I showed you that map earlier. Imagine making that trip. Imagine making this trip. And all on land, most of that was walking. I went to China. I walked 60 miles in 2 weeks. I about died. Fat people don't walk 60 miles in 2 weeks. Fear builds from fatigue. He says, our bodies were without rest. We were troubled on every side. Fear builds from being overwhelmed. You ever been overwhelmed? Man, if you want the greatest picture of being overwhelmed, let me name you pastor for one Sunday. I get to pick Sunday. And let you walk in the door of the church and the air conditioner don't work. I'm going to tell you, if I walk to the back of that building one more time and that air don't work, I'm going to scream. Then you go from the air not working and you come into the sanctuary where half the people are telling you the air works more than fine enough. The other half are going, this teacher didn't show up. This leader's having a problem. The youth pastor is doing whatever it is youth pastors do. You would have think after being a youth pastor for 10 years, I would understand. Oh, what in the world is his problem? The worship pastor can't get the monitors loud enough for her. Praise God, she's got him in her ear now. The drummer acts like he's mad at the world and beats the daylights out of the drums. You either can't hear it, or you either can't hear, or you can hear way too much. Then you're sitting up here, and somebody comes in and says, "Hey, the police are outside putting warnings on the cars because they're parked wrong." And all of a sudden, you get overwhelmed. There's too many things coming in. Can I tell you what's just as bad as all that? You walk in the door and God healed somebody. That's awesome. And they're up telling you how God, and right behind them is somebody that God put their marriage together that week. Oh, and they got to tell you about that. And then right behind them is the new person that came to church for the first time. And they want to meet you. And right behind that, and they're all good things, but you're still overwhelmed. You can't process. And when you can't process what's going on, our bodies are without rest. Paul says, when we came into Macedonia, our body was without rest. We were troubled on every side. When you can't process all that's going on, guess what? Fear builds up. Fear comes in. Oh, I'm going to tell you, I get up here this morning and I look out and we've got a good-looking crowd of people today. Whoo, I'm excited. Days like this make pastors happy. But then I look around and I see all the people that's not here. And if I'm not careful, I go, my word. If they were here and they were here and they were here and they were here that normally come, we wouldn't have enough seats. Oh, man. Michael and the new parking ministry. By matter of fact, we do have a new parking ministry. If you'd be interested in volunteering there, see Michael. Michael's first opportunity to lead a ministry, so praise God. I'm excited for him. And I didn't give it to him. He volunteered for it. Praise God for young people that will say, hey, I want to step up. But you know, if everybody that's not here was here plus everybody's here, the parking team would have had fun this morning. Because they'd have to find even more places to park people. Now, all of a sudden, you begin to get troubled. What if I don't get to shake everybody's hand? Somebody's going to get mad. And all of a sudden, fear builds because you're overwhelmed. He says, for when we came into Macedonia, our bodies had no rest. We were troubled on every side. Outside were conflicts. Fear builds outside. Can I tell you, there are things that happen outside of you that you have no control over that build fear in your life? Oh, what if I get to church? What if I get to church and the pastor's in a bad mood? You can't control my mood. But if I'm in a bad mood, I can make your day bad. What if I get up this morning and my wife is in a bad mood? I'm going to tell you, happy wife, happy life. Mad wife, miserable life. Come on now. And I've seen those days where my wife is just a little edgy, shall we say. My wife gets all caught off and she wants to do everything. And I'm like, Beth, you can't do that. Why not? Because you're crippled. You will fall down and stand on your head. Don't do that. And then she gets, oh, I'll do what I want. And then we go, rah, rah, rah. You know what? Fear comes from things outside of us. I become afraid for my wife that she might get hurt. I become afraid that she gets mad when I protect her. I get afraid for my son because he might make the wrong decision. He might go the wrong place. I get afraid that somebody might not be happy with me. I get afraid that somebody might get mad at me. Fears come from the outside. Paul here says, when we got to Macedonia, we were tired. We were overwhelmed. And there were people all around us fighting. We had conflicts everywhere. You know what I believe that means? I don't believe it means that everybody was fighting with Paul. I believe Paul said, I get there and I look over and Crystal and Ann are just at each other's throats. It's like, nah! Cat fight. And then we got over here, we got Chris and he's done copping a tooth. Corey's over here going, it's bad. It's bad. I got to do my Corey impression every chance I get. Then you got Pastor Brian over here just going. Conflicts. They're not me, but they're everywhere I look. Everywhere I look, something else is happening. Something else is going. Have you ever walked into a room where other people are fighting? Get me out of here. Think back to when you were a youngster. You ever walked in a room where mom and dad were fighting? My wife came to visit my family for the first time. Was it the first time or second? She had met him, but I think it was the first time you were at the house. And we were starting to get serious. And she was back in the back bedroom, and me and mom and dad got to talking. And it came out that I was starting to look at rings. And my dad said, wait a minute, I'm still paying some of your bills. You ain't ready to get married if I'm paying your bills. And then I said, wait a minute, you ain't paying my bills by choice. And then the next thing you know, me and dad had a disagreement. And before you know it, me and dad are standing in the middle of the living room, nose to nose, yelling at each other. Mom's sitting on the couch crying. And Beth walks in the room from the back bedroom. And out of the corner of my eye, I saw her walk in the room. I saw her turn around and go right back to the back of the house. What? We wasn't fighting her. We wasn't even angry about her. But when she walked into the room with conflicts around her, she said, that's someplace I don't want to be. Paul says, we come into Macedonia. Our bodies are fatigued. We're overwhelmed. People are fighting around us. Inside, we're fierce. Fear builds inside. When you walk into these situations, the fear wells up from within. You get that pit in the bottom of your stomach. You get that nervous twitch. Those tears start to well in your eyes. My grandmother, her lip would start stammering. She was mad. She was afraid. Shake. Some people shake. It builds up inside. And when you get to that place, the light of God has been eclipsed. You know how I know that? Because God has not given us a spirit of fear. So if fear has risen up in our life, if fear is directing our decisions, if fear is guiding us, I know where it comes from. It comes from the journey. It comes from the fatigue. It comes from being overwhelmed. It comes from the conflicts around us. But once it starts to rise up inside of our life, all of a sudden we see nothing but darkness because we've been eclipsed. Praise God for verse 6. Nevertheless, can I change that? You know what that means? But. Praise God for buts. Matter of fact, I think I'm planning, just in case you do, I think in September we're going to do Bible Butts 2. We're going to do a second series on Bible Butts. And I'm going to tell you, my favorite word in the Bible, but. Because Paul here says, when we got to Macedonia, we were tired. We were overwhelmed. We were tired. We were full of conflicts around us. We were afraid inside. But God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming. Or let's talk about God's comfort first, and I'll tell you. God that comforts the downcast. Fear ends when comfort comes. When I was a child, I was scared of the dark. Until my dad was in the room. Once dad was in the room, I wasn't afraid of the dark no more. Dad had conquered the dark. In my mind, dad was bigger than anything else that could be in the dark. There are places when I get scared. But if I get afraid, if I can get one of my friends like Howard around, I'm not afraid anymore. I got Howard with me. I'm good. I ain't worried about it. I get afraid, but when I've got other people with me, it conquers the fear. God comforts us in the midst of my greatest pain and my greatest heartache in South Carolina. I talked a lot about that time a couple weeks ago when we talked about depression. And when I went through my depression in South Carolina, I wound up at the Brownsville Revival, Pensacola, Florida. And when I went to that altar and was prayed for, and I fell out on the floor. Pastor, why do people fall down? When the natural meets the supernatural, sometimes all you can do is lay down. There's no place else to go. And I fell down in the floor. And I laid there praying and seeking God. And I physically felt like God picked me up and cradled me like a baby in his arms. I told you, when I was in my depression, I slept for hours with my son on my chest. Stay awake for hours. And all of a sudden, God reversed it. And I felt him holding me. And I felt the comfort of God. And it began to break the fear of depression. It began to break my fear. Why? Because God's comfort breaks the fear. Fear ends with Titus. Who in the world is Titus? Well, Titus is one of Paul's fellow laborers. He works with and for Paul. The Bible says that nevertheless God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not only by his coming, but also by the consolation with which he was comforted in you when he told us of your earnest desire, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoice even more. When Titus came, he brought a message of peace. He brought a message of comfort. He brought a message of love from the Corinthian church to Paul. But as I began to look at Titus, I began to notice a few things. I looked up the meaning of the name Titus. The meaning of the name Titus is defender. So to say, nevertheless, the God that comforts the downcast comforted us by the coming of the defender. Let me tell you something. We have a defender. We have somebody who fights our battles for us. We have somebody who stands in the gap. We have somebody who brings us the good report. We have somebody who shares with us the love. But we have somebody that will stand up as a Titus, a defender of our emotions, a defender of our heart, a defender of our feelings. I found out something else about the name Titus. See, I sometimes wonder if any of this stuff just happened to be. I believe God can direct people's names. I found out something else about the name Titus. Titus had become one of the most common names in the Roman Empire. The most common name in the last 100 years in America is James. Number two is John. Funniest thing to me was when I looked, the most common name of babies born, I think it was in 2016, was Noah. Really? Anyway, I guess it's all the beards, I guess, because I think of Noah, I think of a beard for some reason. But over the last 100 years, it's James and John are the two most common names. Which means, Paul could have said, nevertheless, the God who comforts the downcast comforted us by the coming of James or Jim or John. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying sometimes God sends you people that just seem normal. Well, come on. Come on. See, some of you are waiting for God to comfort you by sending you Perry Stone. Some of you are waiting for God to comfort you by sending, oh Lord, help me, Jesus. By sending you Joel. Not going to go there. Some of you are waiting for God to comfort you by sending you one of these great preachers that you see on TV, or by sending you this great event. Some of us in this church, let's get real. Oh, if I can make it through to the next time that pastor brings Brother Curtis in, then I'll be okay. I got news for you. God may be intended to comfort you with Tommy. Just a normal, everyday pastor. God may intend to comfort you with Brian. I'm going to tell you, people got blessed this morning. You know why? Because this young man looked at me and took guts. I'm going to tell you, this took guts. He looked at me. He said, Pastor, it's up to you, but I really feel like I've got something for Pastor's prayer. I'm going to tell you, it took guts to look at me and say, Pastor, will you let me do that? God's showing me something. And I said, go ahead. Go on. And he stepped out. Why? Because God was doing something in him. God used the youth pastor to touch people that aren't youth. I got news for you, though. God may use Brother Lowell to be your comfort. It may be Sarah. It could even be Chris. That's scary, but it could be Chris. Could be Corey. Could be Corey. I almost changed his name to Cody right there. Just Corey. Here's what I'm saying. Quit looking for your comfort to come from somebody and wait for God to send anybody. We live in fear because somewhere down the road we decide that we can't trust our way out of our situation. We're tired from the journey. Our bodies are fatigued. Do I have to? I don't like it when God tells me to preach stuff that I need to watch on the video so I hear it. But when I just said that our bodies are fatigued, God just spoke into my mind to remind us we fatigue our bodies because we don't take care of our bodies. You want to know why fear is rising up in you? Because we eat more sugar than we eat healthy. Because instead of exercising, we sit in a recliner. Okay, I'm preaching myself, folks. We get to the place that we don't care anymore. And we wonder why our bodies are fatigued, because we haven't taken care of ourselves. We're tired from the journey. We're tired from the fatigue. We're overwhelmed. Everywhere we go, it's somebody. After a while, it doesn't matter if it's good or bad. It's just blah, 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 blah. Start feeling like Charlie Brown with adults. Wah, 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 wah. I'll be sitting in the living room, and every once in a while, alarm goes off in my head. Wife speaking. And I realized Beth had been talking to me for 5 minutes. And all I heard were, wah, 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 wah. And sometimes I'm really gutsy. I go, Beth, I didn't hear a word you said. What? Huh? Let me tell you something. All these things bring the fear. But God says, I'm going to send my comforter and I'm going to send a servant. It doesn't have to be a pastor. It doesn't have to be an evangelist. God's going to send you somebody. Now, two things there, and then I got to let you go. Number one, don't turn aside somebody that comes to comfort you. Paul heard the testimony of Titus, heard the report of Titus, and he said, and my joy increased. I became joyous. Don't turn down the testimony of Titus. Number two, don't be afraid to be Titus. Don't be afraid to be Titus. First time I ever heard this scripture, and I'm going to close with this story. One of the greatest preachers in the Church of God, in my opinion, is a man by the name of Loran Livingston. Pastors of Charlotte Central Church in Charlotte, North Carolina, one of our larger churches. And he came and preached a service at Lee University when I was a student there. He's just dynamic to listen to. But he began to open up and share a very personal story. And he talked about how that he had fell into depression and fell into fear and doubt. And come to find out, really, it is a problem that he struggles with on a regular basis. But he said one of these times that it just got bad. His church was growing. Things were happening. People were getting saved. He said people would get saved in the altar on Sunday morning. He'd walk out the side door and say, I just don't care, because he was so depressed. God was still moving. Can I tell you, God doesn't always have to have you to move through you. But he was losing himself. He got to the situation. It got so bad, he said he walked out in the middle of the cul-de-sac where he lived. Said he raised his fist to God and said, God, I wish you would just kill me, because I don't care anymore. He was where Paul was. He was fatigued. Conflicts on the outside, fears on the inside. The journey had beat him down. Said he's sitting in his office one day, and somebody come to see him. He said, I didn't want to see the guy. He said, number one, I knew the guy was a prayer. I didn't want to see nobody that prayed, because I didn't care. He said, but the guy came in his office and said, Pastor, God told me that I needed to come by and lay my hands on you and pray for you. The pastor reluctantly agreed. Not because he wanted prayer, because he wanted to get this guy to pray for him and get out of his office. He said, but when he laid his hands on him, he said, God broke something. He said, and this verse came to my mind. When we come into Macedonia, our bodies were without rest. There were conflicts on the outside, fears on the inside. Yet, nevertheless, God that comforts the downcast comforted us by the coming of Titus. He said, and I realized, weeping in my office, huddled at this man's feet, that Titus had walked into my office, and God had comforted me. You've got to be willing to be Titus. If God tells you to go shake a hand, go shake a hand. If he tells you to hug a neck, hug a neck. If he tells you to call somebody, call somebody. If he tells you to go pray for somebody, go pray for somebody. You may be the Titus that God wants to use to bring comfort into somebody else. Fear is broken. Fear ends with Titus. Fear ends with you. Somebody is struggling. Somebody is hurting. And all you've got to do is obey God and know the right time to go up and love you, man. Know the right time to send a text message. Dear Lord, we can use Facebook for everything else. Send a Facebook message. If you're not sure, send a private one. Be willing to be Titus. Because I'm going to tell you, the God that comforts the downcast will use you to comfort others and will send somebody to comfort you. The eclipse of the heart, whether we're talking about loneliness, depression, regret, or fear, the eclipse eclipse of the heart always ends at the hand of God. Let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you right now. Lord, I thank you for your power. I thank you for your anointing. I thank you for your grace and your peace. And Lord, I ask that you would come into our life and bring Titus. Bring somebody to bring us peace and to comfort us with your words of wisdom. Lord, I give you glory and I give you honor in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.